All right, what's up, Doug? It's late, dude. I'm trying to go home here.
Yeah, I know. But we do have some winners.
Winners?
Winners.
Adam, did you hear that?
Almost.
It's a winner.
So I want to recap what we're doing here. Every week, we're doing an iTunes contest. 5-star reviews. The best one every week.
Gets a hand job.
From Adam. And a t-shirt.
He's got rough hands.
And a t-shirt.
To clean up afterwards. There you go.
You don't get a hand job. We're just kidding. I got to say that because you never know, Adam.
Nasty.
You never know.
Never know.
When you're going to want to give someone a hand job. And I don't want you to do that because it's unprofessional.
Absolutely.
So I want to clarify. Every week we start the counter from zero. And like, for example, this last week we got 16 reviews.
You know what? That's weird because you know what my lucky number is?
Must be 16.
16.
Yeah. So we also need to say something else because I did notice this and I didn't get a chance to say this to you off air. So hopefully you don't get mad at me for saying it on air. Is I've noticed at least two or three times some of the same names that have been redoing reviews. So
it's possible.
Yeah, I've
you can only win once.
Yeah, and you can only, just to keep it real, those that are trying to help us out and boost us up on iTunes by doing reviews and things like that, it doesn't help if you do more. Once you have one,
I don't think it counts if you redo it.
Or else we would redo ours all the time over and over and over.
Well, what I'm going to say is if you know somebody that they
would be helpful.
Yeah, you can have somebody else do the review. You can do it for them. You can use their name if they don't care to get a shirt.
That's what I do. I just muscle somebody and take their phone and just like review Mind Pump whenever I can.
I do want to clarify though, there is just one winner. Not everybody who leaves a review gets a shirt. However, I'm going to make it a lot easier for you to get a shirt because we had 16 reviewers.
So what are you doing?
And that's fantastic. I'm going to do what I did last week. We're going to have multiple winners.
Multiple. Doug does things in multiples. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Orgasms and winners.
Threesome yeah, exactly.
You've multiples. Seen all these, haven't
threesome
you?
Threesome guy.
Yeah. And so let me announce the four winners we have this week.
Okay.
Damn. Four. So 16 is Adam's lucky number. So we're going to divide that by four.
It's my birthday.
Oh, yeah.
It's my birthday.
Nice. Wow.
Happy birthday.
I told you guys November, huh?
Let's make this about Adam.
It's all coming together now, isn't it? Yeah. So our first
Adam month.
It's my whole month.
Fuck you, bro.
Let's make this about Adam again.
So our first winner.
I claim January.
Just to keep this part of the episode shorter than we need to.
All right, here we go.
Whoops. Here we go. Off topic.
Yeah, D-Luck. D-Luck is a winner.
Winner.
Kevin Deep, winner.
Winner.
Balls deep.
Dr. Grande Huevos. Yes,
my favorite.
Dr. Grande Huevos is a winner.
He's a professional.
And we have one more, Nevious.
Okay, Nevious. So
that's four winners.
So you guys send us a message on our Instagram.
You know what?
I'm
going to change that up.
Oh, sorry.
Mindpumpradio@gmail.com. This is my one of my personal emails.
Oh, so
please only use it
pictures.
If your name has been announced, but I want it to come directly to me.
Okay, so what was the email again?
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's mindpumpradio@gmail.com.
So if you're one of those people, email Doug your information, shirt size, where he can mail it to. Done.
Exactly. And last week we had 12 new reviews, 3 winners. Nobody claimed their shirt. So I'm going to name them off once again. Mishka 213, Baloney 596, 232 DM 23 CD !3. All of you have a shirt waiting for you. I need your name, your size, and
address probably.
The name that you left the review under and your address so I can actually send out the shirt.
Beautiful.
Get it.
Did you get all that?
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
What a typical day on Instagram is for me. Oh,
what is it?
What is it like?
It's fucking titties.
Can you do that like the gummy bear
on
version?
Every feed I
do that
look at and I'm not even trying. Honey, I swear.
Every post
just,
is like
it
that.
It just hammers me.
Every post is like that.
I remember when I first started doing this whole thing, right? So my girl does not do any social media whatsoever. No Facebook, no Twitter, none of that stuff. She's not into it. She's super anti. And to be honest, I was about 3 years ago. And then when we started this whole mission, and just like I did a post the other day when this all started, It was all, there was all a reason behind it. And when I first started doing it, I remember explaining to her. Now, she has no clue about any of this stuff. So like when she's learning, like when we were learning together, like what Instagram was, and she would be laying in bed. I'm like going through and I'm like doing social media posts about that and going through my feed. And it's like tits and ass, tits and ass, tits and ass. Where she's like, who's that? Who's she?
Fitness people.
Who are all these people? I'm like, oh, it's my news feed. You know, it's just anybody I follow, like whatever they post is going to come up on my thing. So sometimes they're
it's just titties. And lots of ass.
Bro, it still smells. It still smells in here, Adam.
And the next question I get is, why do you follow those? Why do you follow those girls?
Unfriend them.
Honey, do you see how smart everybody she is? Does read this. Her post.
It's part of our business.
She takes the alpha female shred stack. Duh. That's totally why I follow her.
Is that my broccoli or was that Adam's fart that's still lingering?
Is it the supplements or is it titties?
What is this? Bro, what is it? What is that linger?
Hey, bro, it's my birthday. I can do whatever I want.
You just blew. You know what you do? It's you aimed it to right at Justin.
And I'll fart if I want.
It's like poker training day. I stayed in bed till like 10:30 this morning.
Did you really?
Like 10:30 this morning. Then I got up.
You're a sack of shit.
Watched some Sports Center. You know what I did too? I smoked weed before noon.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Like all damn day.
I did. I put my feet up
before noon.
Before noon. It's rare. That doesn't ever happen.
You were a stoner today.
Yeah, I was. I got up. And you know, it was a perfect day for it. It was cold outside in Cali. Yeah. Put a little fire on.
It was below 60.
What do you watch? Some Cheech and Chong?
I snuggled up with my lady and my two bulldogs, and we watched Trainwreck on iTunes.
Is that good?
It was funny. It was. I told Katrina that she tricked me into a chick flick.
It wasn't that funny, though.
No, it wasn't like...
Which means it's not funny at all, because you were high while you watched it. It should have been fucking hilarious.
No. It was funny. It had me laughing out loud. It definitely did.
It had you lolling?
Yeah, it had me long. It came right out the gates and started. I don't know if you heard me telling the premise of it to Justin before you walked in today. It had a cool little plot to it. I thought it was funny. I mean, it was a comedy. It's a bunch of comedians are the actors. So if you're getting ready to watch it and you think you're going to get some great dialogue or this great story, it's not great, but it was entertaining. I enjoyed it.
You know a movie I introduced my son to the other day that's what? Hilarious.
What's that?
Spaceballs.
Oh, yes,
one of my favorites,
dude. I forgot
how many assholes am I working with.
Hey, I knew I'm surrounded by assholes. I forgot how bad that movie was because I'm showing my son so and there's great. All kinds of sexual innuendos.
Oh my god,
all kinds.
Your Schwartz is bigger than my Schwartz.
Yeah.
I love that. That's, you know what, I'm glad you brought that up because I'm due for a watch that again.
Oh bro,
that's one of those movies.
Yeah, getting helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah, everywhere he's getting helmet.
That kind of stuff.
He's playing with.
Yes.
Oh, look how big your helmet is.
Or when the president has the two twins under the bed and they're like, nah, nah. And then he pops out. He's like, hey, my son's like, why were they laughing?
It's good to be the president.
I'm like, because he was having sex with them, son.
Yes.
Time
he was
to grow
ravaging
up.
Ravaging them.
Time to grow up, buddy.
Yes.
Hey, all don't, that.
Like a man. Friend.
I literally was just telling my uncle the other day, my uncle, you guys got a chance to meet him at the party. About your guys' personalities and this and that. And I said, you know, I was commending Sal. And I said, you know, I can honestly say I've learned a lot about fathering. I said, he has a lot of great tips on how he handles his children. And I'm thinking that in my head right now as you're talking about this. And you just throw that right out the window. Yeah. This is how I taught my kids sex. I turned on Spaceballs.
Yeah. And then I beat him. So
that's it.
How will you talk to your kids about sex, Justin? You've got two boys, though. It doesn't count.
Yeah. It's gonna be easy.
He's
gonna play him a song.
Yeah,
he's gonna play him a song.
Like
a
good, you know what?
Good Guns N' Roses. November Rain. You're gonna play him some November Rain or something. From
that's a little too intimate.
He's gonna sing the titties and ass song. Yeah, you just exactly. Sang to them? No, like seriously,
I like
think about
big
it. Like,
butts.
I'm gonna be very scientific about it because my son's in fifth grade, so we're gonna have to talk soon.
Yeah,
we are. We're gonna sit down. I'm gonna talk to him about all those different things. You know. Boners and all that stuff.
Yeah, I would probably take a similar approach and just try. Yeah, you try and make it more like clinical. Like, you know, this is the genitalia, right? And these are testicles.
Well, here's a good question. When you're talking to kids, do you say the word penis or do you have like a kid name? You know what I mean?
The pee-pee.
See, I do the same thing. Yeah. I don't know why.
Don't hit me in the pee-pee.
It's so hard for me to say penis.
Well, do you have to tell them to stop tugging on it while we're watching TV all the time?
Does your kid do that?
Yeah.
God, they're gonna grow up. I knew fucking hate you when they listen to this shit.
Oh, yeah. Dude, yeah.
All kids do that.
They do, and
Adam still does it.
It's a boy thing.
I still do. He's doing it right now.
Every boy plays with it.
I lay on my stomach and then I lay on my hands and then I use my legs and I rock back and forth. It just works perfect.
Wow. That was very detailed. And that was an actual technique that I've used. Apparently. It actually works pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like he's comforting himself. No. No, I'm humping the bed.
Yeah, don't roll him over.
Don't roll him over. You can't. Yeah. You got the kickstand.
No, especially when he's swinging his legs that fast. He's almost done.
But with a daughter, it kind of freaks me out a little bit. Like,
oh God,
like,
I'm so scared.
I want to talk to her and be very, I want to have a nice relationship with my daughter as she gets older. And I want to be able to talk to her about these things, but it's gonna be very hard for me to not like demonize, you know what I mean? To be like, so honey, I'm about to talk to you about something that could ruin your fucking life. It's called sex. And then just show pictures of like, STDs. These are genital warts blown up all over this guy's balls and ass.
Yeah.
Just to freak her out.
Are you going to be the shotgun?
I want to do that. Yeah.
You're going to be the shotgun.
What, I have a shotgun and they show up and I.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. You
yeah,
will.
I will.
Let's be honest.
I'm the worst, dude. I'm going to be the worst. I am going to be the worst. And I know it. I can't help it.
You know what?
I was bad with my sisters. Man.
It's
my
endearing, though. It's endearing because they like inherently like that.
They do. She'll hate you for a couple of years.
Yeah, it's a stage. It's a moment in time. But then they look back at it like, oh, he had my best interests, you know, in mind. It's just a phase that you have to go through. It's tough, here's my opinion.
Even though I do not have any children, but you know, I'm the oldest
that
of five.
We know
so,
about.
Yeah, right. I'm the oldest of five, so I feel like I watched my younger sisters for sure go through this. What will happen is she will at first. She's going to kind of hate you for that when it happens. And she's going to still, no matter how great of advice I think you deliver her, she's still going to ignore it and do what the fuck she wants. But then at least when she...
I feel so much better.
When she meets...
I'm so glad you're telling me.
When she meets this douche, the one or two douchebags in a row, she then will go like...
Then I'll kill them.
Then she'll go... she'll go, oh,
I just got accepted to DeVry. It's online.
No, I don't. It's tough. I'll tell you what... Look, I'll tell you the challenge I'm having right now. So my daughter is... and I don't post any pictures of my kids on social media because I'm very protective. But my daughter's she's a very, very pretty little girl. And everybody always tells her how pretty she is all the time, which is not a bad thing, but she's starting to, that's what she's starting to be, her identity's starting to become how pretty she is. Because people, we'll be at the mall and people will just come up randomly and be like, oh my God, mm-hmm. she's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And I bite my lip because I'm like, I don't want her to just think that's important.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I don't want her to,
you want her to be well-rounded and you know, independent and all that stuff.
Looks are fleeting, what I mean? Eventually you get old, and what if she goes through an ugly stage? Like all of a sudden her life is ruined because she was so cute before, and then she goes through, everybody looks ugly through puberty, at least most people do.
Everybody's got that phase.
There's a lot, I don't know, with my daughter I freak out a little bit more, but which is, I know it's not accurate because in reality it's much more dangerous raising boys than it is raising girls, it's a fact. Boys are much more likely to fucking die when they're teenagers than girls. It's true.
Dude, they're crazy.
Well, I remember the shit I did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Well, I think as a dad, then you aren't the message you're probably delivering more often than not. Not that you would never say your daughter's not beautiful, because I'm sure you do that too, but you probably just make it an active effort to commend how smart she is.
Not smart. It's always about her work. Yeah. Always about how hard she works.
Work ethic. Yeah. Or, you know, so she.
And it's paying off. I'm seeing it now. Like, I'll be doing something in the kitchen and she'll come up. Can I help you, Papa? Or she'll help my wife, or my mom will watch her and she'll go help my mom cook. And I can tell she wants us to be proud of how hard she's working. So my plan is working.
Yes. Pretty soon here, we can fire the house cleaners and she'll take care of everything.
Yeah. No. We got some questions to answer.
Oh, that's what we're doing.
Don't we have some questions?
It's qua time.
Mr. Producer, should we answer some questions?
Doug Hagee, he's our guy.
Dude,
yeah,
we got some questions
here for you.
All right.
Ready, set, go.
Let's start with the first question.
Yeah, the first question is from Charlotte JBC. Your thoughts on the powdered green drinks?
Mm. Powdered green? What the hell is that?
The powdered green. Sounds like Soylent Green.
Your supplement of veggies?
I think she's talking about, the vegetable.
Dehydrated vegetables?
Well, super nutrient drinks?
Well, why the fuck wouldn't
you just snort it?
Why the fuck wouldn't you just grind up some kale or spinach?
That's true.
That's an interesting 100%, question.
100% true.
Yeah.
Apparently, I mean, it's high in nutrients. Vegetables. It's high in nutrients. It's
fortified
and enriched. And it comes from plants and, you know, it's supposed to be better for you. Is it good for you? Concentrated anything can be bad for you. You got to be careful, man. Even juicing. Yeah. Even people that juice the shit out of like kale every single day.
That's why I say
they could be
would
getting-
you actually eat all that? Fruit and vegetable, like in the sitting, like sometimes they
well, bro, you know how much vitamin A you're
huge.
Getting? You could poison yourself with yeah. vitamin A because you juiced 5 bushels of, you know, kale every single day.
Right.
So I would say with powdered greens.
Isn't it iodine is an issue with that? Like you get too much with kale?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I would just say eat your vegetables. Vegetables are best eaten. Same thing with fruit.
Yeah.
Fruit is best eaten.
Let your body naturally digest it. I mean, fuck, is it really that hard?
You know, I talk shit out the gates, but here's my, because I think I supplement probably the most. Maybe not.
Have you seen my supplement?
Yeah, I know. That's why I backpedaled a little bit there. I know you do. You're fucking hypochondriac, so everything you think is going on with your body, you have to go get something for it. So
great. Now I have cancer again.
here's my theory on it. Does it beat eating the food raw or eating it cooked vegetables? What about that? Absolutely not. You never will be able to. So yeah, it's the same. I feel the same way about a protein Quest bar as I do about powdered greens. It's like, it's not going to kill you to do it every once in a while. Is it a better choice than not getting anything healthy and balanced for you or not getting any protein whatsoever? Okay, well, yeah, same thoughts on that. But I would definitely...
You're not going to put it in your food pyramid.
Yeah, I most certainly would not be doing that every day. I most certainly would not make that a routine of mine where I put this powdered greens inside my shake. I would be trying to eat my greens and eat my fruit naturally and whole and raw as I possibly can. And in fact, this person's not a person on our forum, and we literally were just talking about this. Someone shared a great tip for how to get your greens, because I'm somebody like this who's always looking for strategies to get real food into your in there. And here's the recipe I'll share it with you was 1 bushel of kale, and then one of Italian something kale.
I don't know.
Parsley. That's what it was. Parsley.
I like how he looks at me because he said Italian.
No, it was. It was.
You're supposed to know everything Italian.
It was one was an Italian parsley, Italian parsley leaf, and then a regular. Was that right, Doug? Do you remember a regular parsley bundle, and then the third was the kale, and then they literally chopped it all up really fine, or you know whatever grinder you have, and then mixed it in with their serving of rice that they cooked and made. So I thought that was pretty cool, a neat way if you prep your meals or do stuff like that to add and get some great.
See, it's weird for me because I love vegetables. It's very strange when people are like, I hate vegetables. I just love them.
I don't know
how you cannot like them.
I actually like vegetables. I just, because I meal prep and veggies are much better like when you eat it either fresh. You know, they're not one of those things that I want to reheat 3 days later. So that makes it kind of challenging.
Yeah.
So,
sometimes I like to make the green smoothie shakes, you know, that you blend.
Yes.
And I'll do that, you know, just because it's refreshing. Mm-hmm. But I still like eating vegetables.
Yeah.
You know, I just do that like every now and then.
Look, if you cook vegetables really well, drain the water, put some olive oil on it and salt, it's delicious. Pretty much any vegetable, that's what I do too.
Pretty much.
I do to it.
And you bake it, like you can make those kale chips and get all creative.
If you want, or you can just do what I do. And
I think
just
people
cook
just want to get creative.
Olive oil and salt, yeah. And it's delicious.
Well, when someone brings up a thing like powdered greens, I think it's less of that and more of they're just looking
this
for-
This is an answer.
Yeah, an answer.
Here's the thing I would
way.
Say. I would say to look out for this. Look out for taking too many nutrients. If you're doing that on a regular basis, look at the back of it and look if there's any percentages of vitamins, in particular vitamins that are not water soluble, that you may be building up over time to toxic levels. Because you could drink this powdered greens drink for 3, 4, 5 years and be okay. And then at the end of the 5th year, you've now are starting to reach toxic levels of, let's say, vitamin A or vitamin D or something like that. So less likely vitamin D, more likely vitamin A. So I would say pay more attention to that. Other than that, is it going to hurt you? No. Is it better than vegetables? Nope. Not at all.
Our next question is from FitChris86. Would Mind Pump ever think about producing our own version of The Biggest Loser?
I did one. Justin did one with me also. At
what do you mean? You guys did The Biggest Loser?
We did.
We did it.
That was actually really cool. We did that.
We did that with the Body Bugs.
Yeah.
Oh, at
yeah.
the gym?
It was like a contest. Competition. Uh-huh. Yeah,
but what about a show?
Like literally a show?
Yeah, like if we, that's like what they're
produce
saying.
A TV
like
show.
Would we ever produce our own or an online version of The Biggest Loser? Like you're watching it.
No.
It would, nobody would watch it. It would be boring because we'd do everything right.
Exactly. It would be reality. You would see.
If it was like a 10-year span.
Two months, like this obese person would be with us for 2 months and seeing 2 pound difference. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like that. No one wants to see that, right? That's not motivating to the average person. But in reality, that's a perfect example. Those clients that you see on there because most of them have some huge eating disorders, they have all this stuff going on with them, and I think my boys here would agree the same thing. Those people, when they hire me, I would tell them, okay, over this next 8 week period where normally you would be at the ranch doing Biggest Loser, losing fucking 100 pounds, you've now hired me and you're paying me, and I'm going to tell you we're probably not going to lose any weight these first 8 weeks, just so you know. Mm-hmm. So total opposite. Normal. Our mentality is completely opposite of The Biggest Loser. I loved the show the first year, and then I had a real problem with it after that once it became a game more than anything else. Mm-hmm. A lot of water and sodium manipulation going on.
I think the only one I've ever even seen that I somewhat was like, okay, I think there's a good idea here, was that one trainer who took this like 450, 500-pound guy, and he just lived with him for a year or two.
Oh, really?
And then just steadily just, you know, changed habits like every day, had him doing something a little bit different. And then he lived with him as his roommate. Mm.
Oh, no shit, huh?
As a byproduct, they both, you know, benefit from
it. I don't have the time to do that.
I know, right? Yeah. But that's what I mean. Like, if you're going to make a reality show, at least that's something that was like
real,
endearing,
real,
a real shit about that person.
The entertaining aspect, if we did our own Biggest Loser, I think the only entertaining aspect would be the conversations we have with the clients and educating them.
I know,
because the workouts wouldn't be exciting because I've got a really obese person over here, so the workouts are going to be boring.
Yeah, walking. Lot,
I'm not going to make sitting. Them. I'm not going to like beat the crap out of them physically and mentally and emotionally. But we're going to sit down and maybe have some uplifting conversations, and that might be entertaining, but it's not going to be nearly as entertaining as The Biggest Loser because that's a fucking circus.
I wonder if all our listeners know the statistics on that too. Just so you guys know, over 80% return to that weight or more.
Yeah.
So over 80% of those people end up gaining that weight back.
You know, it would be a good show that if we put on would be if we went into a gym
mending the
and turned and increase the gym's production. Like sales. That would be entertaining.
Yeah,
as
you know what? We had talked about that. That would actually be a fun idea.
Would be an entertaining episode to have us in like production meetings, sales meetings, training.
Well, we also had an idea. Take over a gym for a month.
Yeah. I remember we had an idea for a TV show. Like Adam and I were talking about, going through other people's modalities and programs, and then we would give like a rating of each one of those, and then they would send us out to a different location. We would objectively like critique it, right? Yeah. And we would go through it personally, however long the time span would be. But it would just be just kind of fun because I feel like, you know, we're not trying to hammer everybody so much about how wrong they are as much as I want to know where it's all coming from. And I know that there's different ways of looking at things. So it'd be interesting.
So, or like a Shark Tank for fitness.
Yeah, well, that's definitely.
I still want to do this, and we could do this easily with a radio show. Maybe we're sparking some good conversation for our little retreat coming up here, Doug. You know, I'm thinking
Doug's sparking something up right now.
Eagles. I've always wanted to objectively review tools, fitness tools that you see on all these infomercials and things like that, and
the tug toner.
Yeah, I mean, literally the tug toner.
I like the buddy tug toner. That's my favorite.
That was the spin off. Did you guys see the one I got tagged in?
No,
I had to have tagged you. I did tag you guys.
Which one?
The T bar thing.
Oh, what is that?
Oh, dude, did you see the person respond back to me?
No.
Oh, they responded back to me because I made a comment like, I'm a bit puzzled, right? I'm puzzled, right? To whoever tagged me. And then they like wrote down like, oh, Adam, it's such an awesome product. And like even the science they tried to use was like really bad. I'm like, oh, wow. But they weren't quite
what
big enough.
What is it? I missed it.
I'll tag you on it. Do you not look at your tags?
Bro,
remember, like, he just sang the song about what it looks about on Instagram. Yeah. It's just titties all day long. He looks at nothing else.
I forget the song.
It looks like nunchucks, bro. It looks like nunchucks. And the theory behind it is this, is that it's kind of like...
You have to keep it separated.
Yeah, so you have to keep it tight.
And then they're doing these like...
And then you do the movements. And because you're keeping it tense, it's kind of similar of like stick mobility, but they're pitching it as
but
a
way less science,
but yeah. way stupider.
Yeah, way. You know what? And they're claiming the tool to build muscle and stuff.
No,
right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so we'll get after that. I'll get you guys on that one. We'll fire it up. They, you know, they're kind of small though. They're only got, I think they only had like 15,000 followers. So that's why I kind of let up. I didn't want to go after them. You know, I thought. Okay. You know what?
But you just did.
And I know nothing about them. And I'm like, let's roast them.
Yeah, I know. They're kind of small. It's kind of tedious. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, maybe if they turn into a large company and they start promoting a bunch of bullshit, then I'll get on there and rip them. But for now, maybe they're just going to be selling to their friends. I don't want to stop that. If you have dumb friends and you want to sell to them, by all means.
Next question, Mr. Handsome Doug.
Yeah, no Biggest Loser then. We have Rachel Duffy asking about how to avoid or treat shin splints.
Cut your legs off.
Shin splints, medial tibial syndrome, I believe, is the technical term. So shin splints are inflammation along the tibia. And a lot of it has to do with the attachment of the tibialis muscle on the tibia and other muscles that underlie that become inflamed. And that's why you get pain in your shin as you try to continue running or walking or whatever you're doing. The best way to treat them, once you have them really bad, rest and ice, the best way to avoid them is to strengthen your tibialis muscle, which is the muscle on the front of your shin, the opposite side of the calf.
Dorsiflexion?
Dorsiflex. So you know how you do heel raises? Like you come up on your toes to strengthen your calves? You do the opposite to strengthen the tibialis. You come off your... Like you push your heel down and come up off your toes.
So you take a rubber band over the top of your foot and
pull back.
And pull back.
A lot of gyms have them. Like our Golds have them.
They have the tibialis machine. Mm-hmm. And then also to stretch out your calves. A lot of this has to do with really, really tight calves.
Overactive calf.
Yeah. So if you stretch your calves out and strengthen your tibialis, you will not, your shin splints will go away.
What's your theory on that though? So you think that, you think it's, because normally it's because of a lot of running, a lot of impact. Yeah.
Right.
And like you said, those are all the tight muscles. It's from running, which is a repetitive endurance type of modality. How is me strengthening my tibialis as far as weight training it? Is it really going to help that, that constant pounding on there? You don't think it's still going to...
It makes a big difference. The
stretching the calf, absolutely, I see that. But as far as the, you know, strength training your tibialis, I would think...
You're saying it's the strike, really, in the front part of your foot, right?
It's that
forefoot that you know, you might not be used to always, like... aggressively driving it into the ground like that.
Yeah, it has to do with the impact. Your foot is basically a big shock absorber, and the muscles that surround the shin from the tibialis to the gastrocs and the soleus also act as muscles that propel you and decelerate you at certain points of a run. And if there's a weakness there, then you can get problems. And with shin splints, it can be weak. It could just be weak tibialis, or it could be really tight calves. But nonetheless, your tibialis is too weak for the rest of for your calves.
See, I wish I would have experimented with this, because I used to get like horrific shin splints when I was in college and I was playing, and I would noticeably get them when our field was covered more in ice, and it would get like really hard. And so I was pounding on this really hard ground, and it just messed me up.
Yeah. And running coaches would say things like, look at your technique. Mm-hmm. You know, that's also important, of course. Looking at the shoes that you're running in.
I would think the number one problem would be excess weight.
Excess weight. If you're really heavy, you're more likely to get it.
Even
definitely.
If you're not really heavy, if you're carrying an excess of 25, 30 pounds of body fat on your body that you probably shouldn't be, and you're a runner, and the reason why I say that is I'll never forget when I was 240.
Oh yeah.
And I will never forget running one lap around the track and my fucking shins were on fire. Bro. Like, and it was nuts to me.
I think, yeah, you're onto something with that, because I also noticed too, when you're overweight, like when I was, you run so flat footed.
Yes.
Right. It is almost impossible to stay on your forefoot and run when you're overweight. And I use that as a gauge. I use that as a gauge for my athleticism. So I know that, like, I'm not at a good body weight right now because I always want to go to my heel.
I can tell a night and day difference when I play basketball, when I'm in the right body weight, my body just moves so much more efficiently. And when it's not, I can feel all these things, not overtrain and achiness and tightness all over. So I would normally, that, and which goes back to, this is why I'm such an anti-running guy. Because normally when a client who is really overweight comes to me, These are the type of issues that that's why I fired at that so quick, because it, I've heard that a lot. And it, to me, the number one reason is because you're overweight. So maybe if somebody who's asking that and they're getting shin splints, and I have no idea what this person looks like, so I don't know, you know, I could, this could be completely wrong for who's asking this, but I just want you to know that the majority of the people I've dealt with in my career that are having those issues, it's because they're running like crazy and they're carrying excess body fat.
But you know, a lot of experienced athletes and experienced runners will get shin splints also.
Well,
a lot or some.
Well, let's be honest.
I think that's an overgeneralization.
It's probably one of the most common, that shin splints or issues with the tibia, iliotibial band syndrome. You know, those are some of the most common, you know, issues with the sacroiliac joint. Those are super, super common amongst people who run a lot. Some of it has to do with technique. Some of it has to do with tightness, and some of it has to do with strengthening. And I've had a lot of success with runners, people who run a lot, who are experienced, who maybe change terrain and are challenging themselves differently.
Yes.
With shin splints, I'll strengthen their tip. I'll have them do, you know, dorsiflexion. Get massage or stretch the calves, and boom, lo and behold,
well, in terrain, it does play a factor. Like, let's be honest, if you're running on asphalt, which I did too, in comparison to grass, in comparison to a track that has, you know, more of a bounciness to it. Like, I highly recommend you do track if you're going to run. You know, mm-hmm. if you're running on the pavement is like just death to your body.
It is. Yeah. It is. It's a slow death is what it is. That's why I'm so anti all of it. I mean, everyone gives me shit for the non-running thing.
And, no, when I run and I want to get in badass shape, and I'm talking about conditioning, dude, I'm running hills.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm working on.
For sure. One of the best things you can do.
Dude, the best conditioning exercise bar none. And you can debate me on
a lot
that.
A lot of people don't understand why that is so good for you biomechanically too, because when you're running on flat ground, especially concrete, there's a heel strike that's happening and it's sending reverberation all the way up entire your body, which is putting in super impact.
So much impact.
When you're running at a heel, you never have that heel strike. You're always in it. You're always in you're never in a full flexion, right? When you're running up a hill,
you're more toe.
Yeah.
You're on your balls of your feet a little more.
Yeah. It's training you properly how you want to run in general.
Uphill will stress the calves a little more though too. So you got to be careful, right? If you're not good at it, you'll get more, you know, calf pulls or Achilles tendon issues. Going uphill if you're not careful. And then going downhill. That's really, really stressful on the tibialis.
It's very tough. Decelerating all that.
Very stressful force. On the tibialis and on the knees.
Yeah, but you're also talking about somebody who's probably sprinting up a 40-yard hill and then walking down.
Yes. Right. Versus, oh, yeah, that's the way
to do it.
Yeah,
if you're running down, if you're jogging down a hill for a long period of time, that's you're right. But, I mean, hill sprints where you're doing short bursts like that.
You treat it like you lift weights, like you do a set, rest, do a set, rest. Exactly. That's the way you should treat
Probably
it.
Probably the best way you could do cardio as far as, impact-wise on your body and sustaining longevity if you're going to be somebody who likes to run to help aid in body fat loss or just to do it in general for health.
Otherwise, just walk.
Yeah, no, walk uphill. That's my thing, you know? Mm-hmm. I walk up a nice hill and get my heart rate up. If you get the cardiovascular benefits from it, I'm getting just as much calorie and I'm not having the impact. I mean, that's just, I'm a big fan of it. To me, like every once in a while I'll get up and I'll do like kind of a high intensity or run or do something fast on the elliptical or Stairmaster, literally just to prove to myself that I can still do it. Like that's my only purpose is really to kind of throw a curveball in there and just to make sure that if I ever needed to run really, really fast, I could still do it pretty well, you know? And I think if I ever see a huge decline in that, maybe I'll incorporate it more into my routine. But for now,
well, the only time these days now for me is like, if I'm like, okay, I'm going to be playing basketball with my buddies and like, you know, even if it's once a week or whatever, like you get so gassed out.
Oh yeah.
It's just ridiculous. So the only way for me to deal with that is to like just slowly ramp it up and get some high intensity, some hit cardiovascular in there every now and then. But like, yeah, it's very deliberate that I know that I'm going to be doing this and I just want to stay in shape long enough so I can, you know, promote better movement.
Cool. Next question, sir.
All right. Kev Reynolds 26 is wondering about your typical morning routines or rituals.
We know what Sal does every morning.
What?
Masturbate.
What?
Dude, you knew. I know that was coming.
I do that here. when we record.
That's your third time of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, when are you horniest?
That's a good question.
Because when you, are you, you said what? You said when it gets dark, and yeah, I'm trying to figure this out because it's dark in the morning, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess. I think the horniest time. We just changed the question. Let's just answer that question. That.
we'll just make up.
When's the best time to have sex?
Yeah.
Afternoon sex, isn't it?
We already talked about
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely.
Afternoon sex is the best. Because
you can see everything.
Between 4 and 5 o'clock is my time. That's my sweet spot.
To do it?
That's when I want it the most.
At 4 or 5 o'clock?
Between 4 and 5.
That's very specific.
It is.
Because
it's
right after a nice workout.
Because my girl and I have this debate all the time. She gets so mad because she gets home sometimes like at 7 or 8. We wind down 9 o'clock.
You missed it.
Yeah, and she wants it. I'm like, honey, you missed the window. And there's sometimes where I'm like texting her, where you at? I'm home. Where you at? You know, I won't be home. You know, I won't be home till like 9 o'clock.
That's when you call Justin over?
Yeah.
I say, hey.
So this morning,
that's what friends are for.
Morning routine. You know, how do you guys wake up? This is something interesting. Someone pointed this out to me a while ago, and I never thought
it was...
I'm
not a morning person, dude.
Well, I was going to say, I never thought this was strange. So I went to... I went on a trip with my buddy, who at the time was my business partner, a long time ago, and we didn't have much money with the business, so we shared a room with 2 twin beds, right? So we're sleeping in the same room, and I scared the shit out of him because the way I wake up in the morning is I literally jump out of bed. Like, I don't, like, wake up and go, oh, you know, like stretch, and I like open my eyes and I go boom, boom, and I'm up, and then he told me that was weird, and I didn't realize that was strange. Is that strange?
Yes,
yeah, that is strange. 100%.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Like I open my eyes and I just jump. So that's the first thing I do.
I wish I had that response. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I just jump up.
It's completely opposite.
Then I go downstairs. I make my wife some coffee. I get my pre-workout, post-workout shake ready for my workout of the day. Then I take a 30-minute poop. And that's where I do a lot of reading.
Excellent.
Yeah. I do lots of reading in the bathroom.
That was very necessary.
Then I come out of there, make the kids breakfast and lunch. And I wash my hands first. Breakfast and lunch. And then
I'm glad you threw that in there. And I would have put that together later.
Take a shower and comb my hair and I'm out. I'm ready to go. That's it. That's pretty much my morning routine.
Every morning, pretty much?
Pretty much every single morning.
Is there, if there is a difference ever, why and what would it be?
It's a weekend.
Yeah, and then what is it? What happens then?
I sleep in a little bit. I'll sleep until like 7. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you have kids. You wake up, you sleep until 7.
Whoa, 7.
Because I tell my kids the night before, I'll be like, you can get up tomorrow and watch cartoons, but if you come in my room, I'm going to blast you.
Yeah.
So they wake up and they go downstairs on their own and watch cartoons and shit. So I'll sleep until like 7, 7:30. And by that time, they're kind of loud because they're laughing or whatever from cartoons. And then I wake up. Or at least I come downstairs. Yeah. What about you, Adam?
I set my alarm on my iPhone, and it's silent. It just vibrates, so it doesn't it doesn't take much to wake me up. 2 days out of the week, I'm up at 3:45 in the morning. The rest of the week, I'm up by 6 a.m. So I'm up relatively early, but I fucking hate mornings. I do not. Every morning
are going to hate me when we go off on our thing.
I was going to say, this is going to be so revealing.
I'm going to piss you guys off.
I hate my sleeping patterns. It's horrible.
Yeah. Every morning. Yeah, mine too.
I wake up and I'm loud and I'm fucking energized in the morning.
No.
I'm annoying.
You're going to have to go on a hike by yourself.
And no, I'm going to wake up and play loud ass.
Hey, here's the thing too.
No, you're not.
And Katrina will tell you this. Like, I am a bear in the morning, dude. Yeah. I am a bear.
I'll wrestle you, bro.
I don't like to talk to anybody. I don't want anyone to talk to me.
You know, I'm going
to
wake you up in the morning.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to jump on you. I'm gonna fucking wrestle you while you're sleeping.
You do not want to do that.
I'm gonna wrestle you.
He's gonna be like a roadie.
But I'm gonna put the sheets over you so you can't move. You're like stuck in there.
I have a long,
you're gonna make an Adam
long
burrito.
Fuse, and I'm a cuddly little sweetheart bear and everything. But one time you don't mess with me is first thing in the morning. I
got a grip, bro. I'm gonna grab the sides of the bed so the sheets are on your ass. You can't move. It's just like my face will be right next to yours. Wake up.
Yeah.
Wake up, Adam.
So
I'm bringing my banjo so I can play like a theme music behind this.
So the alarm goes off, and I normally snooze it one time, but I don't actually go back to sleep.
I can't stand snoozing.
Yeah, so I snooze it one time, but then I lay in bed and I normally open up my phone and start looking at what messages I already have, because I always have at least 5 or 6 text messages to start my day off, and emails and things like that. So I normally start kind of surfing through all that. And, you know, if there's short answered ones, I answer.
How long does it take you to get out of bed by the time when your alarm goes off?
15 to 20 minutes.
Dang.
Because that's what, when I'm snoozing, that's I'm laying there and I'm waking myself up by like looking at my phone and stuff. And then I get up.
That sounds painful.
When I get up, the first thing I do is I walk over and brush my teeth. And then I open the door and I take the dogs out to go to the bathroom because they're ready to go as soon as I'm up. So they're right, they're on alarm clock. That's why too, I can't sleep in, just like having kids. They'll come over to my bed at 5:30, 6 in the morning and tell me to let them out. So I take them to go to the restroom. When they're going to the restroom, that's when my coffee starts firing up and is brewing. I'm brewing my coffee. And then I sit down, have my cup of coffee and have my breakfast and continue like probably surfing on social media or answering emails already.
Oh, what a nice morning without kids, Justin.
I know. Like, all this fucking great relax. I just got so much time.
Yeah. Well, I probably do in comparison, but I don't give myself that much time because I like to sleep in as long as I can. I normally have, if I'm up and then I'm up that early, I'm probably have to be out the door. I don't ever give myself more than about 30 to 45 minutes total to get ready. Yeah. That's it. I don't, any more than that, it's wasted sleep time for me. So.
Bro, I wake up at 6 a.m. I'm out the door at 7:30. So it's an hour and a half, but that's because of all the shit I got to get ready. Even if you remove my 30 minute poop, it's an hour.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, all your prep, dude, I do at night. Because I cannot.
So the kids' lunch and everything ready?
Everything at night. Yeah. At night? I make all lunches. Yeah. I make sure like everything's ready to go. Sometimes I'll put the bags in the car beforehand.
Yeah.
So that way.
Hella proactive.
Bro, I my clothes, I set out like right away.
You
I
set
take
your
a
clothes
shower
out?
At night.
Hold on a second. You set your clothes out? You're a trainer.
Yeah, bro.
You wear the same shit every day.
I know,
bro.
But I don't want to look for it. It's too much effort.
That's so awesome.
Bro. I sit there, like, my alarm goes off, and then it's like,
no
I
way.
Just look at the
I'm going to have so much fun with you guys. I can't
I
wait.
Get up, and then I'm just like Adam, basically, like a bear, and then I just, like, kind of stumble. I usually, you know, hit the walls as I'm walking into
I do
the bathroom.
Same thing, too, right? Yeah. Bumping
and
the
I
walls.
Hit
really?
Yeah. I hit the same tile that's broken, and it's like, and I'm like, ah, fuck, I need to fix this.
I do that
every
with,
morning.
I do that with my scale. My scale, I kick with my toe like almost every morning. Fuck.
Brush my teeth, you know, swear for a minute. And then I look at it like, hey, I'm going to have a great day. I look at myself like, hey, you're the guy.
You're the
I'm
guy.
I'm
going to
get everything done. And then I get myself, you know, picked up. And I basically grab the kids, throw them in the car, unless my wife's doing it. Like, we're on this rotation. And then I just bounce and I don't even wake up yet. I wake up somewhere around the summit of 17. I've probably gone like 10 miles.
That's really safe.
Yeah.
You know,
you guys,
you know, it's something I left out and I'm curious about all you guys. Cause this is also when I head to work or I'm taking off from the house, this is the first thing in the morning. That's when I listen to us. I listen to Mind Pump.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's when I finally get a recap on what we've launched.
I'll either listen to us or I'll listen to some other podcasts.
Yeah, I'll do the same.
Or I'll read while I drive. Fuck. That's bad.
Yeah, it is. That's worse than texting.
It's the worst thing. I don't know what's wrong. No, you know, it's at the stoplights. I'll read. I can't wait until we fucking get to sleep over, dude. Because I'm going to fuck with you guys so bad.
Well, here's the thing.
I wake up in the morning, literally. I am the biggest asshole.
So
every
what
morning.
You're saying is we need to fuck with you while you're sleeping.
Exactly.
Okay. Oh,
so
you guys
that
are,
will happen.
Because here's
bro,
the thing.
You guys are dead. Me. I'm awake. I wake up. I'm so fucking excited. Like my wife will be in bed, and sometimes I can't handle it. I'll
go
over.
You're gonna have this open mouth.
You know what that tells
and
me.
We're gonna drop things in.
That tells me that you are probably somebody too that probably passes out really early.
Yep. No.
And then once you go
no.
out,
no,
we're gonna be
no. I am a
look at
dude. I'm fucking hypomanic. I will stay up. I'll stay up later than anybody, and then I'll go to sleep, and I'll wake up 2 hours later and fucking blast music and get excited.
You're just a fucking robot, dude.
So, I went on a trip with a bunch of my buddies over at the Delta, and we partied. We went hard. We were drinking all night long. I think the last person went to, which was me, was like 4:30 in the morning. 8 a.m., bro. Bing! I'm awake. I go downstairs to the because we're on a houseboat. I plug my – because everybody's just fucking passed out. And these are all a bunch of really cool guys. I plug my phone into the sound system of the whole houseboat. Put fucking death metal on. Just woke everybody up. They were so mad.
I might actually
awesome.
Appreciate that.
It was so like, awesome.
Huh? Yeah.
I don't know, Doug. We slept together a couple times.
It's for you.
Yeah, we did.
A couple times.
Where's this episode going?
Did you guys shave each other?
That's when we went down to San Diego to that convention. And, I don't know. Right. Was I that annoying? I wasn't that annoying.
You weren't that annoying.
I just wake up. Hey, get up.
It's just the spooning that got.
How many times have you had to share a bed with a man?
You don't like to be the little spoon.
Let's be honest.
We actually had our own beds.
Let's say
I had to do that in college though, because we our football team is so cheap.
Right? You guys are share beds.
Stacked us all in together, and then like
stacked.
Sometimes I'm like. Totally like turned over butt to butt, right?
Oh my God.
Not giving him the other side.
The butt scissor.
Yeah, because you know, in the morning, you're just like, you know.
What?
Oh. It's awkward.
You don't want to cross.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I had a dream or something. You know what I mean? Like, this is, I was like, fuck this. From then on out, I slept on the floor.
I'll tell you what, you guys are sharing a bed. If there's only two beds, you and Adam get to share a bed.
I'm sleeping on the floor. Let me tell you something
right now. There's no way that we'll ever
not
be that.
Sharing a bed with a man again.
I am in a point in my life. There's certain things that I'll never go back and do again. One of them is I'll never be in a financial situation. Well, I should. That's so bad to say that. Jinx myself, right? Maybe that day that come up. But
I hear you though, because I like some of my friends are still in that mentality. Oh, bro, I got a couch. I'm like, oh, fuck you. I'll get a hotel.
Exactly. Yeah. That was my point I was trying to go at right there. I was like, I won't even go to someone like exactly.
You want to share a bed with me?
My family thinks I'm so hilarious because when I'll come into town or I'll go see somebody that, you know, a lot of times I'll stay in a hotel, you know, and it's just because if I can afford to stay in a more comfortable bed and AC, and then for me that whatever that price is, it's worth it to me.
Well, it's because you value sleep.
So what if we all go? Yeah. What if we all go
camping? This guy, on the other hand, he could sleep in a coffin.
I'll just crash on your couch, dude.
Listen, I can close one eye, bro.
That is a good point. Would you be like that? Do you have that mentality?
What?
Like if we were all going to, like, let's say this weekend getaway.
You sleep standing up.
If I told you that, hey, by the way.
I like to sleep. I like a bed. So I'm not a fucking vampire.
If I say, hey, we're all going here, we're just going to crash, and there's, you know, there's
two rooms. So we call master bedroom already.
Some person's going to be on the couch, and you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, whatever.
No big deal.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, see,
what if y'all go camping? What are you fuckers going to do?
Oh, I'll sleep on the ground. I'm not.
Well, I'll sleep in the same tent. Bro, is that okay?
I've been camping since I was a youngster, bro. And I have a camping, I've slept on rocks, dude. I have a double air mattress that I bring for camping. It's a king size
like
double
Beverly
air mattress.
Hills.
Oh,
camper.
Bro. And then I bring my 600 thread fucking cotton sheets and shit, and I put it over the top of it with my fucking nice velvet blanket and my pillows from home. Oh, my!
I bring
my,
a sleeping bag and a pillow.
You know what? I might have to fuck with you if we go camping.
Yeah, bro.
I might pop that.
My tent's on fleek, as the kids would say. Man. It's on fleek.
Wow. Right. No.
That's what's the next question.
I'll sleep with the scorpion.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. That was typical morning routines gone to camping, huh?
Yeah.
These things get off track a little bit. Odd Rock and Egg asks, how to pull clients off floor?
Oh, he's become a trainer. This was the question about being a personal trainer.
Off the floor.
Yeah.
Here's a couple tips. If you're in a gym and you're new...
He's brand new,
personal trainer. Mm-hmm. Make an announcement on the intercom. Don't be a pussy. Get on the intercom because everybody's scared.
Yeah.
Attention, members and guests. We're giving away free personal training sessions at the front desk. We only have 5 available. First come, first serve. Please come to the front desk if you're interested in free personal training.
Hot chicks train free.
5 sessions. And it's the easiest fucking thing in the world. I'll make that announcement several times a day, and I'll book 5 goal assessments a day every time I do it. It's so easy. Yeah. That's one easy way to do it if you're afraid to approach people.
That's a good tip right there. That's a good tip.
Come on, bro. I'm not the best closer in the room for no reason.
No. Well, you know, probably because you took all the easiest paths. I didn't even realize that.
I like rods.
Yeah, I actually go, I normally, I don't, I guess that's a very good point if you have a hard time approaching somebody. I've never had a hard time approaching people. I find a creative way to get into conversation, and it could be a million different ways. I will tell you this though. I was ruthless. I used to watch by the way. We had windows at our gym, and in some of them I worked at didn't. So some of those ones, I'd go outside. I would watch what people drove up in. This is so bad to say this, but it's the truth. So here we are. That's what we do.
Wow.
So I would
figure out who's worth it or
who's
not.
Well, and I don't even want to say that because that's harsh to say that someone's worth it or not worth it. But what I would qualify somebody when they're walking in, and you know what? It was a business. I'm trying to build it as a business. And, you know, if I'm going to pitch someone $3,000.
You never know. Somebody might throw down.
Yeah, so if someone's going to throw down, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 worth of training on me, we're coming up in the car. Now, don't judge a book by cover because I have had other situations like this. But if I'm going to be picking off people from the gym and trying to sell training right there on point or get clients and I'm hustling, well, then I think I'm going to increase my odds by picking people that are rolling up in a $100,000 car
that they can afford to buy personal training. So, and they also have a harder time telling me they can't afford it, because that's also a great, a very popular excuse you're going to hear.
And then Adam's like, oh, you can't afford it. That's weird, because I saw you drive up in that.
Well,
I saw you roll up in a Ferrari.
Actually,
that's weird.
Actually, Sal is kind of correct. I wouldn't over, but the way I would overcome that objection before it came out, I would actually find a way in conversation actually
to talk about the car,
talk about the nice car they drove in, that I like the 5 Series BMW. Mm. And I noticed that you rolled up into it today and stuff. And I'd ask questions about it, because most dudes like to talk about their car anyways. So, yeah,
just
no.
They're expensive yoga pants. Wait, that's what I usually talk about.
Yeah, or that. But
that's not creepy at all.
Yeah, not at all. No.
Sometimes too, like if you're
see, I don't make things creepy though. It's how I make it work.
If I see so another strategy would be like this. So I see this lady who I can tell needs help. I'm watching her do like a lap pull down, and she has really poor form. And the typical trainer walks up and says like, oh, do you want me to help you with that? Oh, you're doing that wrong or incorrectly or whatever. I actually won't start the conversation like that. I would walk over and say, excuse me, ma'am. And she'd say, yeah. And I say, is this machine working fine? And then she would normally look at me and go, yeah, I think so. Look at the kind of a confused look. I say, oh, I just want to make sure, because we were working on it yesterday, and I just want to make sure it's moving properly. Why don't you do a few reps? We'll see how it's going on here. I just want to make sure you're okay. And then I'll watch her perform a few reps. And then at that moment.
So when, you lie. Like-
yeah, totally.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Wrong. Absolutely. There's, I believe there's great places to do that. There's one of those. This is one of those places. And it's just an easy way.
Just
for,
an intro. It's a nice little way to ease.
You get an opening line.
And if those of you that have these moral issues with saying white lies like that, you can be more morally tactful about it and say that this was a machine that we were working on. Because then if you say something vague like that, at one point this machine was worked on.
And you're telling the truth at some point.
And now you're
right?
telling the truth. So if you want to be that fucking crazy, then yes, you can get down to that point and keep, because I say that because, you know, because some trainer probably has came up to me and
how many
like,
honest sales
Adam,
mean,
I don't
want
to, I don't want to be manipulative like that, I want to do that, like you don't have to be manipulative to do things like that. I'm keeping it real by telling you some strategies.
I'm just telling you the way I do it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay? Be creative, you know. Be creative. You want, I've there's been times where I walked and I see someone's shoes and I compliment them because I find something. I always try to find something in common with somebody too. So, you know, if I see the an outfit that you're wearing that it's a style that I like, or a pair of shoes that I think is really cool, or, you know, or an exercise you're doing that's unique and that nobody else is doing in the gym, like these are all great ways to just start an introduction and talking.
Well, look, here here's the bottom line. I'll
just
tell you this,
like, I'm new,
I'll tell you
I want to work with you, you want to work with me, let's do this.
I'll tell you this, right, listen, right off the bat, your fucking favorite place of the gym if you're trying to get clients should be the front desk, period. Yeah. End of story. That should be your favorite place.
And the backlogs.
And the backlogs.
People that have not come in to use their free sessions, you better get your ass in there and call those numbers.
Actually, you don't even need that. You don't even need people with free. You call, just ask the sales guys when they sell memberships.
Well, that's what I mean. Just get them to say, hey, and this person is new and why don't you show them around?
Exactly. And don't wait to call them. Go in there after they bought the membership.
Yep.
Hey, John. Welcome.
Hover.
That's it. Hey, John, welcome to the club. I'm glad you just enrolled. My name's Sal. I'm a personal trainer here. I'm going to give you your first workout to kind of show you how the equipment works, and we'll work on a couple body parts. Oh, I already work out a lot. Oh, awesome. What does your workout look like now? I mean, it's easy conversation to get into. One thing I would also do is work the front desk. When I'd scan someone in, let's say Doug comes in, I'd scan Doug. Hey, Doug, how you doing? He'd be like, hey, what are you working on today? Oh, I'm hitting a little chest. Follow me. I'm going to take you through a workout. And I just start walking. Guess there what Doug go. Does? He follows me.
Yeah.
It's really, the front desk is your friend. And I say that because it's the easiest way to pull people. Pulling people in their workout, like Adam's talking about, takes a higher level of skill.
It does.
It's definitely possible and it's good. Right. It just takes a higher level
of
skill.
If you were to break down like the percentage of what's the easiest to attack, absolutely, that would be one of the harder ones. And the easiest is either at the front desk. I would probably say the sales pit area.
Oh, yeah. If they have one. So, not all gyms do.
Yeah. For the most part, most gyms are an area where someone is going to be signing up. That, to me, is like, that is it's the easiest close. They're just getting started in the gym. I don't care if you're an experienced lifter like myself. When I come to a new gym, it's a new territory, even for me. And I have to kind of feel the gym out and find like how it's designed. Because every gym is different. Like some gyms strategically put like all their leg machines in one area, all their this in one area, all their squat racks. And then some of them, they're sporadic. And some of them, they have little nooks that have something that you like to use and you didn't even know was there. So, you know, when you're foreign there,
It's always nice to have somebody who is someone who's been to that gym or works at that gym who can show you around. So you use that as your advantage and like offer the very first orientation to the gym.
It's just easiest when you're at the front desk when they're coming in and they're just like, hello. And it's like that
it's already open.
Interaction of small talk, because you're not going to get an opening when somebody's got their headphones on and they're into their workout or they're on a machine. And
you feel like then you're
feel like
them.
You're hassling them. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So if anything, if you want to start, you just hang around there and be like, hey, how's it going? My name's Justin. You know, how long have you been here? You know, blah, blah, whatever. It doesn't have to be super on point and, you know, you sound like this like you have everything you've thought of, like this perfect line, like just be natural.
Dude, so did you work with Monique or were you gone by the time Monique got there?
No, I was.
You were gone?
I was out doing better things.
So one of the things that... this is one of the trainers that worked for me, ended up being a great fitness leader later on and stuff like that too. I remember teaching her this, and I think she did it one of the best I'd ever seen for one of my trainers that had shown her to do this. And I said, you know, you don't always have to make the whole close and try and sell and get all the client right at that moment. In fact, it'll be more genuine to just be a nice person, say hi and have conversation and continue to follow up. So I said, you know, and because you're trying to do that with so many people, and if you really want to break this down like a business, you track it. So I told her to get a journal and a log, and then she would log like interactions with people. So what she would do is she would like little things to remind her. Joe has two kids. He's married. He's 37 years old, and he works for IBM. And you know, and that would be like after her first interaction, she would gather that information.
Yeah.
And then she would log that person's name, all that stuff like that, those little things.
Yeah.
And then like once she started to accumulate, like after a month, we could look back and she's got 54 leads in there that she knows facts about all of them. And then she would just make it every time one of those people were inside the gym, she could always, if she forgot their name or forgot something, she could always refer back to it and go like, oh, I'm gonna go talk to Susie who goes to the same preschool as my little niece that goes over there and say, hey, how's your niece Sarah doing over it? And then people would just be blown away. You keep doing that, you building that rapport, then it becomes a very easy transition to help those people and get them involved in training.
Yeah, and it's honestly though, it's really not super complicated. I can't tell you how many times, just to prove a point, because for a lot of my career I was a general manager, so I wasn't training people. I would just manage the whole gym, but I would do lots of sales training classes with the trainers. I can't tell you how many times, just to make a point, I would tell them exactly this. I'd say to them, you know, right now in the next hour, I could get one client off the floor. And they'd look at me, and the new trainers would always look at me and be like, show me. No problem. And I would always do this. I'd go up to the front desk, come up, you know, I'd make an announcement, attention, members of guests, come up to the front desk. I'm doing a free workout for glutes. Do you need to shape up your glutes? We're doing some exercises here at the front desk. Come meet me here. I'm going to show you how to use those machines. And sure enough, people would come up.
I'm going to film it.
People would come up who would be interested in training their glutes or whatever body part I picked. The core. I'd always pick the popular body parts. People would, sure enough, they'd come up. Oh, hey, you know, John, nice to meet you. So you want to work on quads? Let me show you what to do. And well, boom, he'll follow me. And I would always get a client. It's so not hard if you learn how to use the front desk. And if you learn how to make announcements on the intercom, you become the king of that shit, man. You are the freaking king of the gym.
Yeah. No, because nobody wants to do that.
Nobody wants to get on the intercom.
And that should be your
I was the king of that shit.
Your indicator too, and this is what we made that comment that, and I'm glad you remembered it and you called us out on it, because, and here's a reason why we all know we could go into a gym and just murder everybody. It's because we've all been in the industry so long and so many different gyms around so many trainers. And right now, the place you're getting hired at and you're about to start, there's probably somewhere between 5 and 30 trainers, depending on how big the facility is. And I guarantee you, there's at least 1, 2, 3 different things that they are not taking full advantage of that is just it's just ripe for the picking.
They're
and
not
that,
willing to do that exact thing.
They're
that
not
you
willing.
Know
to, they're not willing to make
thing.
Those intercom announcements because they're shy, or they're not willing to sit around the sales department area and wait for the new guest to come over and go over and introduce themselves and offer a
and
free
wait
visit.
Outside of their window of like, I work from 5 to 8.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, guess what? I fucking stayed there.
Yeah.
You know, all the way till midnight sometimes, just interacting with people and waiting for new leads to come in, and you know, salespeople to close deals so I get more clients.
Exactly.
You gotta put in the time.
Yeah. And most people won't do that. So that's why we know that we could go in there and we could. And here's the other reason why we know we could go in there and kick everyone's ass is because maybe there is 1, 2, or 3 trainers are doing it. The ones that have already figured out and did that, they don't even have to do it anymore.
because they've built their clientele up. They're full-time trainers. They're rocking $5,000 to $10,000 a month. They've got all their stuff set up. They're what we will be in 3 months because we know that's what it takes to get there. And they're no longer taking advantage of those things. Mm-hmm. It's the other shit butts that have been there for 6 months to a year and they haven't figured out that's how you build your business.
You know, I'm remembering all these different things now that I used to do. Right? No, because you know what else I was a fucking expert at was I was an expert, and this is before I ever got into management. I was an expert at becoming friends with all the whole fucking staff.
Yep.
And then I would get referrals from everybody.
Oh, that's it.
Become best friends with the front
desk.
Keep
your schedule there available for them to look at. And be like, oh, hey, Justin's in this time and time. Yeah.
Front desk girls, coffee and Starbucks all the time.
Yes.
Jamba Juice. Like, you do. I mean, I still do.
You got to own the gym. You basically got to own the gym. You walk in like you own it and you say hi to everybody, all the members, and you're having a great time and people are going into the classes. They're coming to the classes. How was that class? Was that a great workout?
Right.
And, you know, I mean, just right there, just by talking to people, you're going to get your openings.
Oh, and you when you become that guy and when you really are that guy beyond anybody else, the whole gym feels it, knows it, and sees it. And that it becomes like this culture that you create. And we've kind of lightly mentioned it in other episodes. You know, I talked about when I used to be a trainer, we laughed at me about it. You would always know that where I was training because I made it a point. I made it a point that when I trained a client that this was my gym. Even if I was just a trainer, this is my gym. When I train, everybody, all the trainers around will know, all the members around will know. And that's how I was. I was friendly about it. I wasn't cocky about it. I was friendly about it. I was helpful about it. Members would be watching. I would go walk up to those members after I was done training that person. And I knew they were wanting to ask me something because I could see the way they were staring at me when I was training that client. They were curious mm-hmm. and they were afraid to make that first step. I would walk over and genuinely just say hi to them and they would just spill right away what they want to talk to me about.
I tell you what, when I was partial owner of that gym down in Palm Desert, there was a competing Gold's Gym that was relatively nearby that we that kind of targeted us a little bit. So when they did that, the gloves were off. And you just reminded me of this. I went over there and I had a strategy. I said, okay, I'm gonna take their fucking members. So I went over there and what I did was the most effective thing I did wasn't any sale promotion or anything like that. It was I recruited their best trainers and their best aerobics instructors or best group X instructors. And I knew by recruiting those people over, a shit ton of members would follow, word would spread, and then I'd get more members. And sure enough, that's exactly what I fucking did. I went in there, I watched their classes, I saw the most popular group X classes, waited for the instructor, went up to them, introduced myself, how much are they paying you? I'll pay you double, come to my gym. Next day, they're at my gym, and before you know it, all the people are coming over. That's how important you are as a trainer in your gym. When you're a good trainer, you do own the fucking gym.
Hell
and
yeah.
A good general manager, which, like I said, I was a GM for a long time, and technically, I was the manager of the gym, but I understood who really owned the gym, and it was my training staff, and I treated them as such. And that's what you got to go in with.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, shit. It's what I told you the other day. What I'm going through right now. You know, it's the same old story, same old song and dance. Like some people don't realize that but hopefully you have a good GM that will know that will realize that and recognize. But it doesn't matter. You'll be in control. You'll be in mm-hmm. control of your destiny if you take control. Justin kind of lightly touched about the phone call thing. Gyms will have this, and I think this is a very easy. Probably a great start. So actually, this is the exact thing I did. The very first thing that I got leads was this way, was we had what was called the daily SMR, and it got printed off every day, which I guarantee they'll have this tool or even better tool now in what your gym is at, because I'm sure we've evolved since my time of doing this.
Yeah, they should.
Almost 15 years ago. So when we did this, it would print off a report. On that report would show me everybody who bought a membership the day before, and it would have their information, their full name and their phone number. And I could call those people. They just got a gym membership the other day. Those are easy. And there was, in depending on your gym and how active
it is.
That's
how I got my wife, dude.
Right?
No shit.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, my name is Justin. And, I noticed you join and you're hot.
I just got a membership. I'm gonna marry you.
If you have sex with me, I'll train you for free.
And that's how you got his clients.
That's how you closed off.
You look good in yoga pants.
The best about
train with me.
You got to go back a little bit though, because before you get that list of people who joined, meet them that fucking second they join.
Well, that's what I'm
in person.
That's what I said originally, hanging out in the sales pit. Yeah. But what a great way to follow up and make sure you capture everybody that you might not have missed, because obviously you're not there for the entire
day. If you do that and you're a halfway decent person over the phone, you can find yourself fully booked with goal assessments
booked
the following week. You'll have 15, 20 appointments. You should, if you're halfway decent, be able to close at least half of them
right.
on hiring you for at least one session.
Way better odds.
Right? 50%. If you're a great closer, you'll get better than that.
No. That's way high. Yeah. 20, if you're off of an orientation, if you're pulling 25%, you're doing good.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Out of four.
I was blown through 70%.
Easy. Oh, I was blown through 80% for sure. I was 90s. We were.
Yeah. But I mean, shit. You guys are amateurs.
The company benchmark, I remember, was trying to get everybody up to 25%. If you were a decent trainer, one out of four you should close. And you should always set a trainer up for worst case scenario. You're not going to be closing.
Well, whatever your closing percentage is, you just do the math.
Well, that's an important...
If you're closing 25% and you've booked 50 appointments, you know you're going to get 15 or whatever.
Well, listen, you don't just graze over this, because this is an important thing that I used to teach to right here. This is something that why a lot of trainers get discouraged, is because they think we just gave all this great advice, right?
Right.
Now this kid goes out there and he busts his ass for 2 days doing everything we've told him to, books himself 20 appointments, fucking jacked, right? His whole next 3 days are just loaded full of new people.
Out of 20, how am I going to show?
Okay, exactly. Right. 50% show.
So 10 show up.
So 10 show up and about 25%
close.
So
you might sell two of them.
Okay, right. So that's my point.
Right.
And now, and that was saying he got 20. So if he only got 10, there's a chance he might not close anybody on that first 10, possibly, yeah. So you got to keep that
but
in.
But that being said, as a personal trainer, here's the thing. Getting new clients is far harder than keeping the ones you have. So the hard work is getting those clients. Once you get them, re-signing them is fucking easy. That's not hard at all.
Good, yeah.
You got to be a good trainer.
Absolutely.
If your clients don't re-sign with you, there's something wrong.
You suck.
Yeah.
You know what? This is here's some numbers. So this is the stuff I used to love getting into, because I love teaching my trainers, once they were good, the business side of it, how to build your own business out of it. So when you talk about closing percentages and numbers that you should strive for, we talked about earlier in a more recent podcast about, measuring strength. If you're decent, if you're good, if you're great, there's same type of numbers as a personal trainer. Are you decent? Are you good? Are you great? And I'll tell you, I used to be able to gauge trainers that way off of their percentages. And I'll tell you right now, if you're in sales, of course, right? We can't talk about how great you are as far as your knowledge, but we will talk about sales right here. If you're closing 25%, you're decent. That's what a decent trainer should be able to do. If you follow the steps that we're telling you right now, if you put X amount
of people. Let me put it this way. I can get anybody who's interested in being a trainer, anybody to close at 25%.
I agree.
That's what decent means.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anybody should be able to do that.
Yes. If you put the work in, we're talking about, right? If you go out and you actively book 20 people to be put in front of you, knowing only half of them are showing, probably going to show up, you're going to get 10. A quarter of those people should purchase. So one fourth of them in that case would be about two, right? Mm-hmm. Or no, you're going
to
have
two to three.
Yeah, two to three. Right. So that's a good number to target to be starting off. And then you try and progress that. Then, if you start getting up to the 40 to 50% you're closing at, now you're pretty damn good. You start pressing over 75%, now you're talking about some of the most elite people I've ever worked with. And that's where you talk about the Justins, the Sals, and myself. I closed around 80 to 85% of any of my fitness leads. So those are numbers to strive towards, but don't be discouraged because you only close.
You can ramp up to that.
Yeah. And the best way to do that is to get the more people. That was what I was really good at was guys tend to be better at this. I don't know if this was a female or a male. I can't remember who asked it. Men happen to be a lot better at this than women. And it sounds sexist at first, but let me explain myself. Women have a hard time hearing no. Men, we fucking hear it all the time.
Yeah.
So being rejected is something that is a lot easier for us than it is for females. And in order to be very good at sales, you got to be okay with that.
Yeah. Now, that being said, the best salespeople in the world, the most women.
Are the women that break through that.
Yeah.
The women that learn to break through that.
It's true. It's actually a statistical fact. Yes. Female salespeople earn more than male salespeople on a whole.
Yeah.
It's actually true. The top real estate agents,
women. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they break through that piece, they become extremely dominant. Mm-hmm. I 100% agree with that. Mm-hmm. So hopefully those help.
Yep. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to Mind Pump. Please leave us a 5-star rating and review.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.